We are Dukes and Bell, Atlanta's number one afternoon drive program. Thanks to you guys. We start every hour of every show with a big hearty,
hey, man.
We're hanging out at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We got a great crowd, man. Good crew. My boys over here. It's funny. We had three guys at the table, Abe, and there's one guy over here. Three guys are all in for the Falcons, and one guy's like, I'm not feeling it. So we get the one guy who's playing hard arse over here about this offseason, and we'll get into that conversation because Abe's got a hell of a theory about where this may go and how the schedule actually may play to the Falcons' advantage. By the way, we got shout-out to Rodney. We got a great crew over here. His beautiful nephew, Zakai, thank you. And his brother is listening in the car driving up here right now. It's going to be a minute. Yeah, right? So it's going to be a while, but he's like, was Mike talking about you? Because I said his grandson. It's actually his nephew. But he's listening right now in the car. Great crowd here at Twin Peaks. Join the party. We're here till 6. Is Chris on tonight? What's going on after us? Yeah. What's that now? Yeah.
Full 4 for Chris tonight.
Full gets, hey, it's Turtle. Big show tonight. All right, Abe, the Falcons, man. Explain what you explained to me at 3 o'clock. And a couple of guys at the bar, Dennis at the bar, Jimmy, I was talking to them earlier. They're like, you know what? Abe's making some sense on this.
It's not the first time, Mike. Get used to it.
Well, you know what?
I'm just kidding.
I give credit where credit's due and it's funny because a couple of guys real quick said to me, you said there would be no competition.
Right.
Well, if one guy spits the bit, as they say in horse racing, if somebody doesn't make it work, then someone else is going to get the job. The argument has always been, and I'm speaking for Carl on this. Carl's off today. Abe's in. Michael Penix Jr. is likely not going to be ready for camp. Now, if he is, color us surprised. Nobody in the organization has ever laid down a timetable. Nobody, when asked by the media, has ever said that they said, yes, Penix will be ready to compete at camp. So that's why we go, as Carl says, with what we know. So, Abe, let's just say that Michael Penix Jr. is maybe not ready to compete the entire camp. Talk about the way the schedule plays out and how you think it does line up to maybe make the segue potentially from Tua to Penix.
Yeah, I just think when you look at the Falcons' schedule, Mike, especially early on, if you cannot hold a quarterback competition, and again, I will caveat that for you, you are giving Tua the job because Penix is not able to properly compete due to health, then when you look at it, there is a natural opportunity to get Penix into the starting role if he is then healthy into week 4. And that is because in week 3, Thursday night football on the road against the Packers, your next game isn't for 11 more days, Monday night football. So not only do you have the mini bye, you have the extra day from Sunday afternoon into Monday night. And so if you're going to make a quarterback change, you have the extra time to do it there early in the season. If Penix is not ready to go at the start and he's ready to go by week 4, you can make a natural change if Tua is not getting the job done. You will have bought yourself 3 weeks
right
to get Penix up to speed physically where he needs to be if he's not ready to compete in camp. I think it's a perfect opportunity. Look, Mike, you saw the bye week come out and you're sitting there thinking like, man, too late. It's too late for a quarterback change to wait until week 11 for the bye week. And then you look and say, here's a mini bye that's 11 days long. If you're going to make the change, you have an opportunity to do it there. Again, this is caveated with Penix is not able to compete. Tua is handed the starting role.
Right.
And also the caveat that he's not performing well. The team is not winning in those first three. If you're 3-0, I'm not making a change.
No, that's the thing. If Tua is balling, see, I'll give you the counter to the argument. And this is something we've talked about. We have a lot of Michael Penix fans out there. And guys are asking us all the time.
Yeah.
You know, what do you have against Michael Penix Jr.? Nothing. It's about the physical reality of him not being able to win the competition preseason. Here's the other side. Abe just touched on it. If Tua is winning and the Falcons find themselves like we were, I hate to use this as a reference point, but 2024, we're 6-3. We're 2 games in hand of the Bucs or Carolina. There's no reason Stefanski would bench Tua. The question, and the guys at the table asked me, do you believe in these quarterbacks? I said, I don't believe in either one of them. And that's where we're at. Now, color me surprised if one of these guys steps up. And we're all pulling for that. But the reality is our quarterback is probably playing college ball this year. But to Abe's point, if Stefanski really is as good as Matt Ryan thinks he is, that's why he hired him, and we take care of the things we didn't take care of the last 4 seasons, I'm taking it from Ra to back to, if we're honest, Arthur Smith.
Yeah, sure.
Basic blocking and tackling, pardon that pun. We'll be okay. We've got skilled position players. We've got guys. We may get more out of Kyle Pitts than we ever had since his rookie season. Even last year, statistically, he had a really good year. So this could play out. If Tua really catches fire, he may never relinquish the job, and then you don't really know what Michael Penix Jr. is, and he may have to develop somewhere else down the road.
But you know what? If
Tua's, for another team.
If Tua's doing a good enough job that he's proven he's your guy, then I don't really care what Michael Penix is. What you need to find out is what Michael Penix is if Tua isn't doing
right.
that.
Right.
Right.
And you just laid out the scenario. It's a perfect. It's a perfectly laid out scenario.
Mike, as much as I would love Penix to be the guy, and if he is the guy, that's great. I'm not anti-Penix. I'm not anti-Tua. I'm for whoever can be the future of this team. I'm not sure that, to your point, that either of them are. And I don't think there's any more likely that it's Tua or that it's Penix. I don't care who it is.
Right.
But I want to know at the end of this year if one of these guys is or is not. And if Tua gets the first chance and he plays well, I get that you have 1 year less control of Tua than you
right.
would of Penix. You have to get a
well,
deal
you know
and
what?
All
That's,
that crap.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Fine. But if he's playing well and he looks like your future, then the last year of Penix has to be sacrificed for the belief that Tua is the guy. And if he's not that, you find out when you can what Penix has. And if he's not that, to your point, you hit the draft.
Right. Hey, man, live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, Abe in for Carl today. The Falcons' schedule came out, and again, for what it's worth, now, I know most fans, like if you're like me, in the old days, you're like, okay, the schedule's out. I'd look at the schedule. There's a road trip. I might want to book some airfare, get a hotel, start looking at tickets on Ticketmaster or StubHub, but it's become a thing, and we were trying to figure it out. Abe and I were saying maybe 10 years ago, this became this major deal
yeah.
where all of a sudden all the teams in the NFL, their marketing digital department tries to outdo each other. And the Falcons went with an old school approach that we love. And for younger, I think the younger audience does grasp it, but it's the old, this is SportsCenter. And it's brilliant. And I love it. We played, you know, we played some of the sound bites. Some of the stuff is visually oriented, so it doesn't play on the radio, not a visual medium. But I loved what the Falcons did. And it's generally universally accepted as I thought top 10 was being a little poor. I think it's top 5. We talked about some of the other teams that got a little clever. Only the Chargers took the bait on using Mike Vrabel and the Diana Rossini situation as something to maybe troll the Patriots with. But even then, Abe, it was very subtle.
Yeah, it wasn't as direct as I thought some teams maybe would have been, but that's all right. Look, I thought the Falcons did a great job, and here's something we didn't written, or at least I didn't neglected to talk about earlier. We talked a little bit about Matt Ryan and his role throughout this skits and kind of how
right.
open he was. And I don't think anyone's surprised that Bijan was a central feature in a bunch of these. Bijan's done some acting. We've already known that as kind of
was
a
was it Outer Banks? Is that what that thing's
I
called?
I think there was that. I think there was maybe a Game of Thrones thing that he might have done. Drake London was, I thought, outstanding in some of these skits. And I think for those of us in the media who maybe have been around him and have seen him interact outside of just doing interviews, you're not that surprised
right.
that he could be fun and gregarious and open and all that stuff. I thought Drake London was really doing well as a performer in those skits, too.
There's one where he goes receptions, and he snakes
yeah.
the receptionist to answer a phone call.
I thought that
the
was great. I thought the face-to-face with an employee named Kendrick is good. It was really funny. He was very good. Like, Drake London was very good.
Jesse Bates intercepting inter-office memos.
Yeah, and by the way, Drake, the rapper, actually shouts out or references, I should say.
I saw that.
Drake London in his new one of his new three albums on one of the songs. He literally dropped three albums last night.
Are you serial?
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, he did.
Wow. Yeah, I saw him. Drake, the Falcons retweeted it. He's going to the Falcons Twitter, or we don't say, you know, X. Well, I don't say much of anything. They stole my account. But he wide open in Atlanta. I'm wide open on the charts.
Yeah, great. That makes our very own Dylan, Dylan happy, because he is the self-proclaimed Drake fan of the station.
But, you know, it's fun. Guys are asking me, like, Stefanski's sense of humor. He's a brilliant guy, good sense of humor. He plays a big part in this. Matt Ryan, get blanking set to a couple of guys who weren't ready for the meeting about the schedule release.
I like that when Ian Cunningham walks past him and Matt's having
he's trying to get
trouble.
Ice.
Yeah.
The ice machine's not working. He goes, Matty
Ice,
huh?
Yeah.
It's cute. And remember, now we're guys of a certain age. It's hard to reference the old SportsCenter promos because half the guys are gone. Remember when, who was it? The voice of the Dodgers, Abe.
Vince Scully?
No, not then, now.
Oh, Charlie.
Charlie who?
I'm blanking.
See?
I'm blanking.
Ah, you
Steiner.
Got it. Steiner. Charlie Steiner.
Oh, I'd get there. You got to give me a moment.
And this is the one where they were doing the Y2K thing.
Follow me.
They're practicing.
Follow me to freedom.
They're practicing the Y2K, and he's got his tie around his head like Lord of the Flies. follow me. Follow me to freedom. There's another one where Vander comes in. He goes, Charlie Steiner said you're not the third best, like, you know, heavyweight of all time. And, like, remember Vander's walking around like, come on out, Charlie, get your beating. And he's hiding under his desk. Charlie Steiner was a bunch of those, man.
Yeah.
Because he was like a lovable everyman schlub as far as the SportsCenter anchor. But anyway, thought the Falcons, and again, hats off to the Falcons digital team, their marketing team, for doing another great job. Now, does that matter to most fans? I don't know. It's nice to know your team's got a sense of humor. Can we win on the field?
Yeah, again, the schedule release only goes so far before the actual schedule takes over. It's a tough one, Mike, but I think every team has a tough schedule.
No,
like,
right,
I looked at most of the schedule, like, yeah, that one's not easy either. There's two or three teams that kind of got a break. But
But again, Ravens, all right, let's just say that they don't respect the Saints around the league because they were a bad team, breaking a new quarterback. Ravens, Bears, Niners, Bucks, Bengals, Chiefs. Presuming that the Chiefs will have their ish together.
Right.
And the Bengals will have Joe Burrow healthy. That's a tough part of the schedule. But again, based on last year's, to Abe's point, last year's win-loss record, it doesn't technically show up as one of the tougher schedules.
Now, you do get three of those games at home in the Ravens, Bears, 49ers, so maybe that helps
out. Don't sell your tickets, guys. Don't sell your tickets.
Look, I mentioned this earlier. I'll say it again. Your bye is week 11. I feel very strongly that you could probably get to the bye at 4-6. And still have a chance,
right?
Because of what the back end of the schedule looks like, because of finishing with three division games. If you can get to the bye week 4-6, don't throw the towel in on the season yet. There's still a chance.
Right. I'm with you, brother. Live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, Dukes of Bell with Abe Gordon filling in for Carl. Come back. We'll talk to Grant McCauley about the Braves. They lost the battle but won the war, another series. Hard to imagine losing two games with Chris Sale against the Dodgers and Cubs and still pulling out the series. Also, what Walt Weiss had to say about Ronald Acuna's return next on Dukes of Bell. Yeah, man, tough loss last night for the Braves, but they win another series. And as we said before the break, Abe, if I had told you, I guess what, a week and a half, 10 days ago,
yeah,
that somehow the Braves would play the Dodgers and the Cubs, and you'd lose the Chris Sale start, you probably figured not going to win those series, but they found a way. You know, and the Cubs pitching is good. It's a good baseball team, and last night they just couldn't get anything going.
Well, and what happened that maybe you weren't counting on? And I'm looking, and I'm going to parlay this into what we could see tonight. We didn't think Spencer Strider was going to be that good a week ago against the Dodgers.
And he was so clutch in a high-pressure situation.
And he's going again tonight, and now it's like a carryover thing. Like, what are we going to get from him? Is he going to look as good as he did against the Dodgers? But if you had told me that Spencer Strider was going to look as good as he could, I can afford Sale to not, you know, whatever happened against the Dodgers. And then, again, following that up, Bryce Elder going on Saturday for the Braves against the Red Sox. Bryce Elder has been among the six or seven best pitchers in all of baseball statistically.
Right. And,
I know it doesn't always look the same.
No, it's, but again, the idea that, you know, working with Greg Maddux,
sure,
and just soaking up, sponging up, you got all these Cy Young Award winners and Hall of Famers, you know, in the Braves rotation from the back in the day. Let's ask Grant about it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll start there. First off, Grant, we know the Cubs were good last night. A credit to their pitching effort. Their bullpen is good. They put money in it in the offseason. And just one of those nights where just a couple of singles, nothing was dropping. Real quick, though, the Kim error really irked me because I'm still not sure who he was, where that ball was going, but I guess it happens, right?
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that does happen, but that doesn't mean it's any less, you know, annoying, I think was probably the word that I used. And I use that about the Mariners series loss, for that matter. It's just kind of annoying. But when you're having as good a season as the Braves have, you know, things like that, things like pickoffs, you want to clean it up. You don't want to see it over and over again. But ultimately, I guess you can kind of forgive. And it's tough to win if you don't score a run. So there was that whole thing.
Grant, Spencer Strider was outstanding last time out against the Dodgers. Gets a chance to see him again tonight. What are we maybe looking for tonight that worked against the Dodgers? If we're looking for him to double down, have another strong outing, what are you looking for from Strider tonight?
I think more of the same consistency from that execution standpoint. And that, I really feel like, is the difference between pitching in a place that's more neutral, like a Dodger Stadium, versus Coors Field, where you just don't get the same movement and things don't feel quite the same. And you have to work a little bit extra to kind of, you know, come up with a game plan that works at altitude. He didn't have to do all that in L.A. So I think that, as much as anything, might have been a bit of a relief for him. He didn't have to be overly reliant on his curveball because his slider wasn't working. He wasn't worrying about the walks. He was able to limit those. So if he's in and around the strike zone, he's sitting 96, 97, up to 98 miles an hour. I mean, that velocity will play, I can tell you that. And if he's getting the movement on the fastball that he has and that he did against the Dodgers and uses his other pitches the way that he carved up that lineup, then I think we could see a lot of the same things we saw in the last start for Spencer Strider tonight against the Red Sox.
Another thing that I guess you were there in the scrum, Grant, when Walt Weiss was speaking with the media. It's not that he's throwing cold water on it, but he says when Ronald Acuna can play the field, that's when he'll come back. So what do you think that means as far as when we'll see him?
Yeah, I think that kind of could be – it could be the Miami series. It could be the series after. And it's not going to – we're not talking about like a months-long, you know, issue here, but there's just really no reason to push it. They don't want to bring him back and him not be able to play the field. And then even though, yes, you could have Ronald DHing, is he truly ready to be running the bases and doing all of the other things as well? I don't know that the answer to all those questions is yes. And when you're doing as much as the Braves have done, in spite of, you know, not having him and some other players at times this year, you can kind of afford to be cautious. And I think you have to with him, right? It's almost like an extra layer of, all right, we want to be not just sure, but completely sure that he's ready to do all the things we need him to do. And they have been playing an outfielder down, really. Yes, they have Jose Ozocar up here, but that's not a long-term solution either. So I would anticipate as soon as Ronald's able to get out there, play the field, and really feel no limitations whatsoever that we'll see him, it could just be another 5, 6, 7 days.
Grant, this is a little convoluted of a question here, but I want you to follow me on this because you're so great at analyzing baseball. I kind of want you to analyze the mindset of the fans in regards to this next question, because we do get another chance to see Bryce Elder, who's been outstanding. But Bryce Elder's career to this point has been what it has been, and then obviously this year he has looked different. So from the fans' perspective, in your opinion, when is it like kind of fair to stop wondering if there is a fall-off coming, if this is just what we're getting, and kind of move past that and kind of just being like, hey, we've struck gold here and it's awesome?
Well, I would also kind of flip it around and say maybe it could be the age-old adage that goes with every fan, you know, fan base of every sport. What have you done for me lately? And what has Bryce Elder done for the Braves lately? He's done a lot of great things, and it's starting to become a larger and larger sample size. And that, I think, kind of is to the point that you're asking, when can you start to trust it? Well, when he just does it more times than not, and that's really been the case this year, and you can really track it back to final seven starts of last year. So now we're looking at about a half a season's worth of starts altogether, you know, 14, 15 starts of a much different looking Bryce Elder than we saw the first 15 or 20 starts of last year, and at times really since the second half of his 2023 season. I did a deep dive on this and wrote an article a couple of weeks ago about it, and it has a lot to do with the fact that we're not seeing the same Bryce Elder this year that we were seeing even last year or the year before, because he has changed the way that he pitches. He has changed the mindset behind how he pitches, and those are real tangible changes. And look, this is not a guy who's on the wrong side of 30 bouncing around between five or six different teams just trying to catch lightning in a bottle. He's still a relatively young pitcher. He just had to take some lumps to figure out how to get to where he's gotten. So as much as anything, I look at this as a lot of perseverance for Bryce Elder. He kind of stepped into a void last year where the Braves just needed somebody to take the ball, good, bad, or indifferent. They had to cover some innings, and he did that. And by doing so, I think it created some good faith to allow him to work on some things, and now we're seeing the result of a lot of hard work.
Grant McCall is with us, guys, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Yeah, just loving, and again, I did not have Mark, I should say Bryce, getting this good, Grant, on my bingo card and looking so dialed in. Speaking of getting dialed in, you mentioned Strider. We'll see Bryce on Saturday. Sunday, I got tickets. So, Grant, Holmes, is there any degree of pressure on him to get through the fifth inning, or they're just that's the way it's going to be with Grant? They just assume that's going to be a lean into the bullpen start.
No, I would hope that you don't have to. And he'd been kind of, I think, efficient, if you will, early in that start against the Cubs, and then the control just kind of got away from him. And, you know, he had been a little bit, I think, you know, extra rest, so maybe he didn't want to push it too far. And, you know, Didier Fuentes doing what he did certainly takes the pressure off of that. So maybe you look at this as a situation where if you're going to use Fuentes, you're trying to put him into positions where he can succeed, where you can give him multiple innings because you want to keep that pitch count up. And you kind of have, for all intents and purposes, a bit of an insurance policy. Now, on the flip side of that, yes, you would like to see Grant Holmes throw at least five, if not six innings. That would certainly be nice. And then you could hand the final three or four over maybe to Fuentes if they want to go that route. If they can go that route and they don't have to use Fuentes in some other way, shape, or form before you get to Sunday. But I think that Holmes, you know, it just continues to be the process of trying to work his way through the lineup the second and third time through, and that's a bit of a challenge for him. And ultimately, as we look at what this looks like when the Braves get other starting pitchers back in rotation, maybe he's going to be a guy who ends up helping you in the bullpen because he has an elite-level slider as a swing-and-miss pitch, and he can throw multiple innings. So you could use him as a two-inning option out of the pen if you need to, or just come in and get some swing-and-miss. So I don't know that his role is going to be starter all year long, to make a long story as short as I can, but right now you just need him to cover some innings and do the best that he can to get you in a position where you're not taxing the bullpen every time he goes out there.
Again, can't argue with the results. Never thought to see the Braves like this. We were joking a few times today, Grant, the idea that you'd lose two Sale starts and still take the series from the Dodgers and the Cubbies. That's like the sort of sum of its parts thing I love about this team. By the way, do you think there is going to be a priority? I know every day I ask Grant, it's only May, and I'm fast-forwarding to August. But you think they're going to be cool with Dubon in left field, or you think they try to improve that?
As for right now, I think that they're cool with Dubon playing a role on this team. And I did ask Walt Weiss about this a couple of days ago, about just the overall value that Dubon brings. And he's played his way into a larger role, and he's come through with some big hits. He's been more than just a versatile glove for this team. So can that last for 162 games? I don't know. Can you find ways to get better and you just kind of cross that bridge when you get there and find the right deal? I think that's probably more so the answer to that. But I think we've also seen and needed to see this past week in this Cup Series especially, Mike Yastrzemski has started to come through with some big hits and looks a little bit more comfortable. So if you got Yastrzemski hitting and Dubon, then you feel a little bit better about that situation in general.
Yeah, he's crushing righties. You're right about that. Grant, where can folks hear your show this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend I will be on from 5 to 7 here on 92.9 The Game for 2 hours. It's from the Diamond. I will have Braves hitting coach Tim Hyers, as well as a slew of other Braves just kind of talking about what the offense has done this year to level up over last year, and also my visit with Braves Hall of Famer Javi Lopez to share some reflections on the Bobby Cox years in the 1990s. So a lot of good stuff coming your way from the Diamond, 5 to 7 p.m. on Sunday, wherever you get your podcast and on the Odyssey app.
Sorry, follow-up. One more thing. Did he fix Austin Riley, or how did Austin Riley snap out of it?
I have talked to Austin Riley about this, and look, it just continues to be the process of hard work, and everybody, I think, has their own different style of adjustment. And for Austin, I think that, like I've talked about for quite a while, he was just kind of caught in between on his approach in some ways. The swing is good. The swing, I think, is where it needs to be. It's just finding, you know, the time in the count to really attack certain pitchers and do that maximum damage. And it does appear like the month of May has shown us some good things from Austin Riley.
Great stuff, Grant. We'll be listening on Sunday, man. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
You got it. Grant McCauley, best baseball man in town. We'll come back. Channel 2 says, driver's brace for Friday night closure of two-mile stretch of I-285. I can't stay home. See, it's going to be traffic-mageddon. You're denying it.
We'll two miles, Mike.
Two miles on the perimeter, like it's nothing.
It's 14 minutes.
You just created a black hole in the perimeter.
14 minutes on foot, Mike. 14 minutes on foot. Let's go.
You got to slide through the hood, bro.
Yeah, you do.
All right. Then it's 13 minutes on foot.
I mean, you might be able to find some swag. Hey, man, we'll come back. We'll talk about that. We'll also get you up to speed on what's going up in Pennsylvania at the PGA Championship. Who are these fuzzy foreigners leading this thing? Next. Yeah, man, we got the Falcons schedule. We got the PGA Championship, but we've also got traffic. We were joking around during the break. Day-Day was talking about alternative routes on the west side of town. Usually when I drive the Braves games on a weekend, there's always a wreck or something. So I wind up going through parts of Atlanta I never knew existed. And meet interesting folks.
Yeah.
Some with shirts on.
Yeah, there are some good – see, I don't want to put all the ways out there right now because
right. – No, it's a secret.
I got to hold on to a few of them because that's the last thing I need
to
see.
So what do you think? You think it's going to be a jam up?
I mean, it just depends. You know, the people that are going to be, you know, causing issues are going to be the people that don't know other ways around. Like people not from Atlanta.
Folks coming from Tennessee.
People coming in. Like you got a lot of graduations taking place
People going 285 to 85 or whatever going down.
So people that just put in GPS and say go – those are going to be the ones. People that are, you know, from, especially if you live Like, my exits, depending on which side of town, that part of 285 is how I get home,
right?
Depending on where I'm coming from.
If you're just tuning in, we talked about it earlier. We're talking about the traffic that was going to start last week. They were worried about the weather, Abe.
Beautiful weekend last week.
Contractor thought there'd be rain. There was no rain. So, yeah. And, look, I do understand the Georgia DOT's mindset here. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. No sense in milking and making everyone miserable right. for, like, 6 years right. at two-lane traffic when you can knock it out and just shut the whole thing down and just do it. But starting tonight at 7 o'clock, two-mile stretch of 285 is going to close on the west side. And, again, it is it depends where you're coming from.
Yeah.
North to southbound is basically Cascade to MLK, and they're going to get you up towards 20 in some ways. The machinery is going to dig out and replace 2 miles worth of concrete.
Yeah, look, I think anywhere within 6, 8, 10 miles of there on 285 is going to be a problem. I agree with you on that. I think the downtown connector and other routes, you're going to notice it. I don't know if it's going to be quite the disaster.
Well, I-20 yeah. right
you're gonna
there.
You're going to notice
gonna,
it.
I-20 right
yeah,
there.
Anything,
gonna,
within, I-20,
yeah. anything
yeah.
within 8 to 10 miles
yeah.
is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I got our buddy Big Steve.
Slide through the hood, Joe.
Yeah, I got a party coming up. I got to go southwest to northeast, so I'm going right through the middle of it. And Braves on Sunday. I'll let you know, Abe. We'll talk about this in a rational, non-hyperbolic way about what happened over the
You'll
weekend.
You'll be fine. I got to travel in town this weekend. You'll be all right.
All right, man. Hey, man, the big story, though, today is more about the schedule release. We start at the top of the hour. Spent a lot of time. Abe made a great point earlier. If you do start with Tua and Tua does not get traction, then Penix when he's 100% healthy, and we would guesstimate that should be by week 4. And then you're talking about Monday night in New Orleans. Again, there's a strange stretch where you've got a Thursday night game, a Monday night game, and a Sunday night game, all for the Falcons. And we're working on our boss, Mike Conte. He's in Orlando, right, for Atlanta United. Hear that coming up but tomorrow. But we'd love to get down to New Orleans and do the show at Harris. We know we'll fill it up, play some craps, a little blackjack, the fun, you know, shenanigans. You up for it?
You're not a, if I'm on the show, let's
you,
do
you
it.
You were, yeah. like, lukewarm on the idea. You were lukewarm on the idea of New Orleans, though.
I love New Orleans.
But not going to the Superdome.
As a Falcons fan in right. that building, it's different when you're with a Saints fan.
No, it's got a musty
different.
Smell. We know that. But, I mean,
well,
they try
to
clean it
I've
out.
I've been
but,
to the building plenty of times. I've right. seen a bunch of college football national right. championships and Final Fours and all that stuff. But, yeah, as a Falcon fan trying to represent there, I don't trust those people.
Well, again, I've got a buddy, my boy Brian, trustee. He's from Gentilly, for those who know New Orleans. And it's just a good vibe. It's just a fun place. And, I've never had a problem. If somebody, if a guy's getting abusive or getting stupid, you just walk away. Like I always do, Abe. I never confront anyone. But I'm just saying.
I'm not really a confrontation
I've
person.
I've never. That's a joke, by the way. I've gotten too many fistfights.
Yeah.
But no, I've never had a problem. I think it's good-natured ball busting. I think it's the best rivalry in the NFL. It's a rivalry with a lot of passion. I get it. Green Bay and Chicago is always going to be one that checks the box. But anyone who's been to down to New Orleans or dealt with Saints fans, hell, some knucklehead hired a plane to fly the 28-3 banner over our head. Remember that one?
So
we're walking into Mercedes-Benz. We're like, are you kidding me?
We did the research on the midday show. Those planes with the banners are not as expensive as
How
you
much?
Would think. It was like $350.
No.
I'm telling you.
For one pass?
We didn't go that detailed.
I thought that would be at least a grand.
It was not that expensive. We were surprised.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? Since we won't buy billboards at this company, I've got a plan.
you're saying price of gas has gone up. Price's gas is
okay.
Up.
$500. We're gonna do some. You know what?
Now
done.
Let's
fly one out to Athens. Let's go.
You may have to supply the banner, which is gonna add the.
Oh no! Hold on. Now you're wait. Now you see now the cost is escalating. I know this a la carte.
And those are some pretty big banners. So you're
28-3 banner.
How many letters?
That's all it is.
Is it like $100 a letter? What are we talking about?
What am I making?
Well, no, you
I'm
brought
not a
this up.
Press.
Now you're telling me this. Is, you're telling me so
we looked up how much a plane.
You're telling
costs,
me this is a cost-effective way to market the show on the radio station. Now you're telling me it's
that.
A la carte.
I just said it's cheaper than you would define.
All right, all right. We'll get on it. We were going to buy a billboard, Carl and I, by Cobb Galleria on 75. This is a digital billboard, and I think the price was something like less than like $2,000 for the month. And we looked at it, and as soon as somebody figured out who we were day-to-day, the price escalated.
Of course.
And needless to say, I couldn't make the transaction simply on the internet. There was a salesperson involved. But, yeah, that's interesting, though. I do appreciate you throwing cold water on the idea of now. First you get me excited, then you say, well, no, wait, yes, no. So is it expensive or not?
I think it was cheaper.
So you're telling
me
it cost some meathead from New Orleans $300 to have that sucker do laps over the city?
There's a chance.
You got to get a quote. I'm looking at something now. Let's see. Hold on. The
price of gas is much more expensive than it was 2 years ago. You know.
All right, man.
Yeah. Well, looks like just for the flying, what I'm looking at, a 1 day package, 2 hours, is going to cost you about $3,000.
Nah,
thank
it
you.
It was way
thank,
cheaper when we looked at it.
Who are you buying this from?
Hey, man.
This guy with a drone?
We bought it from
a guy with an airplane.
We bought it from Randy Quaid.
For $300.
Some guy with a model plane.
We got the Waymo of planes up there doing
circles. I've got a friend at PDK. He lets me take off between landings.
I didn't say 25 by 50. I said 4x8.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, come on now.
I don't care how big the plane is if the banner shows up.
No. Saying, the banner
we're going to take off from Charlie Brown on Fulton Industrial. It's a much shorter flying time.
Now, that's this company. Maybe some other companies are cheaper.
I'm not trying to make you upset. Clearly, you're getting vexed. $300 sound a bit light for this endeavor.
Are you questioning the work we did 2 years ago?
Well,
it sounds like you are.
Oren, what's your thoughts on this? Oren, you
handle the last 5 minutes. I'll find a better deal.
Oren, you will be the arbitrator. $3,000 or $300 to fly a banner over a Mercedes-Benz on a Sunday.
I think Abe is a little bit too tied into this.
Renting a plane, this is just from AI. Renting it can cost as little as $550 per flight hour. And I think I can find cheaper than that. That's just AI.
But the plane's got to stay in the air. How big is the rubber band?
Independence Day? What the heck?
I'm telling you.
Yeah, you said it. You said it, Randy Quaid. He mentioned, I'm back.
You like that one?
Yes, it's a good reference. We're not going to get... You know, some goober from down in Waycross in a crop duster.
What do you care what plane it is?
I mean, it's got to work.
You're not looking at the plane. When have you ever looked at the plane that's carrying the banner? You look at the banner.
I'm always curious. I like aviation.
You never once
I'm always
at the
curious
plane.
Of the speed.
You
so here's
liar.
Here's what you may have seen, Abe, and I don't know. But I found so on the same site, because they have different packages for personal and business. So what I quoted you was for business. For personal... The let's say it says the base price is going to be $1,200, and then based on the size of your banner, you're looking at another $500 to $700.
Found cheaper than that.
So you're still looking at
$2,000. There you go.
This place is less than $500 per day across a beach.
Apparently, Abe had a Groupon 2 years ago when they looked this up on Andy and Randy.
Did you find that plane on GeoCities, Abe?
Again, people turn to Dukes and Bell for the facts, Abe.
Right.
Thank you. Again, let's take a look at the PGA leaderboard from up there in Philly. By the way, it's Aldrick Potgieter. Potgieter. According to my South African friend who played for either Old White or Renegades or might have been High Country. Anyway, he's a rugby guy. He knows how to say South African stuff. And guess what?
He's down.
Potgieter realized he's never been in this position before. He's a 21-year-old. He lost a couple of strokes today, shot a 70. He's still in the mix. He is 2 strokes back at 3 under. But the story is you got to love when a rich country club kid overcomes adversity to make it to the leaderboard of the PGA. Maverick McNealy at 5 under shoots a 4 under today, and he's still got some holes to play. So he's on the back nine. He's got 4 holes left, and he's 5 under. So Maverick McNealy, the American Alex Smalley, Chris Goddard, and then Hideki Matsuyama. It's all part of the leaderboard, guys. The PGA Championship leaderboard on Dukes and Bell, brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, and by Bobby Jones Golf Course, Atlanta Golf Open to everyone.
Hey, guys, right, Rom just birdied, so now he's sitting at 3 under now, too.
Look at that, and Rom had to apologize for throwing some grass at somebody. Hit somebody with a divot. Look, it was sitting on somebody's head looking like a toupee. Hey, man. Let's get the heck out of Dodge. Chris is ready to rock. Time to clear our throats.
Oh, no.
All right, Abe. Great job today. Thanks to Bryant McFadden, who joined us earlier in the show. Also, thanks to Shock, DJ Shockley, joined us on the program. And, of course, Grant McCauley, the best baseball man in town. We'll be back Monday. Abe is in for Carl this week, so we'll have plenty more shenanigans. And we'll expand on this theory about just how the quarterback battle may play out in the first couple weeks of the season. Clear your throat, brother.
Yeah, look, Spencer Strider tonight, Bryce Elder tomorrow, an opportunity to build off what we saw from them in the last series. I think if you get these two guys, especially Strider, going as good as they have been, and then you can correct a little bit with Chris Sale, the Braves' run of outstanding performance through the first quarter of the season is just going to continue. Strider and Elder, chance to build on their seasons tonight and tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that.
Hey, man, a story out of the Big Ten today. Charles Woodson, of course, thanks Peyton Manning for the Heisman with the famous Heisman pose. And some would say Chris Fowler helped with ESPN and College Game Day to drive the narrative. Either way, I always love Charles Woodson's game. He's come on the show, friend of Dukes and Bell. His son, Charles Woodson Jr., following his legendary footsteps, he's going to be heading to the Big House in Michigan. See, this is the kind of thing, you know, we can look down our nose at the Big Ten and everything else we talked about today with the college football playoff and how Georgia is developing their talent. But when you got a legacy like that, you lock in the kid. And that's a no-brainer for the Mason Blue.
All I saw from that story is I'm old.
I know.
That's all I ever see nowadays,
would
Mike.
You say Woodley's one of the best college athletes you ever saw play?
Yeah.
Top
one
10?
One of them. Yeah,
he's one of them, man. Yeah. I never got to see Herschel play in college, play with the USFL. All right, man, we got to get the heck out of Dodge. If you love the show,
you tell a friend.
If you don't,
you're going to get got like Mike Bell's Twitter.
Uh-oh.